I'm someone who loves trying out different makeup looks, but doesn't really wear much on a daily basis, so I like to focus on making sure I have high quality staples. And whether you like a fresh face, full glam, or somewhere in between, you've probably seen Thrive Cosmetics Viral Tubing Mascara. I've certainly seen it everywhere. You know, the one in the turquoise tube? So that mascara, along with all of Thrive Cosmetics' beauty products, are certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free, which I look for in makeup, and they've got excellent quality to match. And something I didn't know from all the mascara videos I've seen is that for every product sold, Thrive Cosmetics donates either that same product, another product that is needed more, or a monetary donation. They've worked with over 500 nonprofits to help with a wide range of causes like supporting cancer survivors, people experiencing homelessness, education access, and so much more. Knowing that makes me feel even better about using their products. And I do enjoy using them. Like I said, I like having high quality staples, and so my favorites are products that are multi-purpose, like the Brilliant Eye Brightener. It comes in a bunch of colors, and I like using them as eyeliner, eyeshadow, and even highlighter. Thrive Cosmetics is luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 20% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/thrive. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS, .com/thrive for 20% off your first order.
Hello, I'm Alison Larkin, writer, comedian, narrator, and host of the Jane Austen podcast. Join me as we embark on a journey through Austen's timeless stories, starting with Pride and Prejudice. The Jane Austen podcast with Alison Larkin is available wherever you listen to podcasts.
Let's hang out.
Let's hang out.
And let's talk about what lesbians are about.
Let's hang out.
And let's listen to two lesbians shout.
Let's hang out.
Let's hang out.
Welcome back to Les Hang Out. I'm Lee Holmes Foster, and here's what's happening this week.
This Week in the Lesdom.
This Week in the Lesdom is a place where we can touch base each episode about things going on with the podcast or otherwise. And we have a really exciting update for you. We have made our first goal of 125 patrons for our Season 5 Patreon campaign, which is incredible. We also realized we may have made it even earlier than we thought, because Patreon counts our patrons strangely.
Really weirdly.
They don't count people if you're a year-long subscription. So we added all our year-longs, blah, 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 whatever. We have 128 patrons, even though it says 116 on our Patreon page.
Very, very weird, Patreon. Thanks for making it confusing.
Huge gap, but we're happy that gap exists, because that means that we can do a Patreon only Q&A episode. We had such a great time doing the Wisdom AMA. We're going to do a bonus episode just for our patrons. So if you have any questions for us, we will make a post on our Patreon today that you can post all of your questions. I'll also leave an anonymous box there if you're shy about your questions. Don't worry.
Other exciting news. Any of you who have also joined the Patreon for our Flame Musical Patreon may have seen we've got some updates going on. But the biggest one is that for our next musical podcast that we are working on right now called Journey to the Heart, we are going to be crowdfunding that project as well. And we are hoping to build a little bit of a street team for that. So if you just loved The Flame, you can't wait for the next musical, you know, and you just want to help us get it kind of off the ground and running, please reach out. We would love some help. And we're just super excited for you all to hear it, what we've been working on. So, you know, get in touch. That's all we're saying. That's all we're saying.
And by get in touch, Lee means you can email us, leshangoutpod@gmail.com, in case you didn't know.
You're like, oh, yeah, sure.
How will I ever get in touch with Ellie and Lee?
Surely no one who listens to this podcast has ever heard us plug our email, but you're right. You're so right.
Send a carrier pigeon. I don't know. Like, it's fine, but just get us the information. In the greater Les universe, there are a few exciting things happening in our media world. Am I Okay, which is a lesbian rom-com that explores the falling for your best friend trope, because none of us have been there.
Never.
Really excited, because that's going to be coming out soon. It's with Tig Notaro and Dakota Johnson. I am here for that pairing, so I can't wait to see it. I'm excited.
No one we know will find this story relatable at all.
Yes.
And then something happened on SVU. What happened on SVU,
Ellie? Yeah, so Olivia Benson's son came out on SVU. Olivia Benson, known lesbian. Her son came out because it runs in the family, and she was very supportive. So we're very happy for this positive portrayal of parents with their kids coming out, and also like Olivia Benson as a gay parent with her kid coming out. You know,
the representation we all need
is just perfect. Yes.
Also, in the greater Less universe, I don't know that this is a this week, but we're going to talk about it because we saw it this week. Some of you may have seen we tweeted or retweeted, I guess, this clip from a Barbie movie with Barbie and a mermaid that was the gayest thing I've ever seen ever. So listen, if anyone wants to send us the details on what Barbie movie this was, it is a very real possibility that we will have a Barbie should have been gay episode in the near future.
The looks, the eyes that they made at each other.
Yes.
The holding hands, the like lip linking together, like it felt like they were like maybe winking at each other at some points. Like, it didn't feel platonic.
There was no straight explanation for that clip. There's zero.
Not at all. And the thing about, I'm sorry, we're not going to go into a full should have been gay, but the thing about when they do these in animated series is you are animating this.
Yeah.
This is an intentional choice to have their facial expressions be gay.
Yeah. This is on purpose.
This is not just like accidentally some actress just like seemed a little gay. No. You made Barbie gay.
Yeah. And we want to talk about it. So please send us the details on this. We need to know more.
Because we need to watch the movie and talk about it.
Yes. That's what we're saying. That's what's happening this week. Back to you, Ellie and Lee. Thanks, Ellie and Lee. And welcome to our 76th installment of Shoulda Been Gay.
It was fun. It was great. But it should have been.
Insane that we are at 76. And in this week's episode, strap on your Jimmy Choos and your Manolo Blahniks, because we are diving into a classic. This one I know has been heavily, heavily requested by a lot of our listeners. And before we get started, two important pieces of news. One, slightly sad. Some of you may have noticed at the top that my wonderful, beautiful, talented co-host, Ellie Brigida, not feeling great, not able to join us tonight. So it's going to be just me. But the other piece of news I have, the better, more happy news, is that I am joined by a wonderful guest. I have Candida Valentina here, and they are the founder and producer of Queerly Beloved Review, which is based out of Seattle, Atlanta, and Las Vegas. It is a collective of queer artists of all spectrums, dazzling you in the arts of burlesque, drag, and more. They are also an activist. They are currently super passionate about removing gendered language from the workplace, among a whole host of other issues that you mentioned. Candida, thank you so much for being here.
Of course. Thank you so much for having me.
We're going to have a good time. We're going to have a good time tonight.
I'm so ready. I have notes.
Why we're going to have a good time, Candida? Do you know why?
Why?
Because we're going to talk about Devil Wears Prada.
Yes, I'm so excited.
That's why we and everyone else are about to have a real good time. I know it. I know it's already coming. I can't wait because this has been heavily requested. And we're going to dive in. So listen, for anyone, God help you, for anyone who is not familiar with The Devil Wears Prada, let us start out with our IMDb synopsis, always my favorite part of a should have been gay. A smart but sensible new graduate lands a job as an assistant to Miranda Priestly, the demanding editor-in-chief of a high fashion magazine. That's not too bad.
Yeah, it's very short and sweet.
Yeah, I would say serviceable, right? A serviceable synopsis of this film. I'm curious, Candida, do you have a gay synopsis for The Devil Wears Prada?
I do. It is the queer awakening of Andrea diving into the world of fashion and all things queer, and then, you know, dumping lame-o boyfriend. It's a coming out story of the ages.
I mean, we've all been there, right? Agreed. I think my gay synopsis is probably similar. I would say, you know, Andy Sachs discovers a little bit about her sexuality by jumping into a problematic May, December romance with some slight Stockholm syndrome undertones with her boss in this classic, classic film.
Yeah. I like that. Yeah. All with a fairy gay mother in there as well.
Yeah, a little. Who do you consider the fairy gay mother?
Oh, Nigel.
I'm curious.
Nigel. Hands down.
Oh, yes. Nigel. Okay. There you go.
Yep.
That's fair. That's fair. I feel like we should like preface the episode with that before we really dive in is shout out to Nigel. Obviously, when we talk about the should have been gay of this movie, it is not the was very gay that is Nigel, right?
Yes.
He is gay as they come. And we love that. We love some representation, I guess, is the best that we, is that the best we could get in 2006 when this came out?
I think in 2006, yeah, it was kind of like the tokenized queer person in the fashion movie. Yeah.
I feel like as far as gay characters go, Nigel's pretty sanitized as a gay, right?
Yeah. Yes. Absolutely.
Like, is that just me for like a fashion gay? I'm like, Nigel's in like a cute little sweater vest and like a tie. And I'm like, come on.
Yeah. The one thing that Nigel did have hands down was like the shade.
Yes.
And like,
oh,
he's the reads and all of that stuff. But as far as
sassy.
Like fashionista gay,
right?
It was a little like washed, like
it's
watered down. Yeah, for sure.
It's a little tepid for me.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, I love him and I love Stanley Tucci and he's great. But yeah, I feel like every time he's there, like judging her outfits and I'm like, my good sir. You could do more. You could do more for me in this movie. It's all I'm saying.
Absolutely.
You know? Especially when you get to like some of the scenes in which Andy is just like straight up, I mean, just eating up these outfits, right?
Yes.
Like,
absolutely.
We'll get there.
Yeah.
So anyways, was that a shout out in which we completely disparaged his character and everything about him?
I think so.
For a while.
Yeah.
We did great. We love you, Nigel. You're a fabulous queen who just needs to be a little more risque for us. That's all.
Yes.
So, Candida, tell me a little bit about, because, I mean, we know, and obviously it's been on our list. We've had many requests, but you are actually, I think, the one who suggested Devil Wears Prada on your list. So tell me a little bit about what is your experience? What's your history with Devil Wears Prada?
Well, first and foremost, I am honored to mention Devil Wears Prada and bring it on the show. You said 76, right?
Yes.
76 episodes 76 and no Devil Wears Prada.
These.
Shame. Dishonor on you. Dishonor on your cow. No, okay.
Listen. I will say sometimes there are so many ones that are very highly requested. And sometimes you just like to keep some of the hits. Because like if we had started out and just done like the all time top ones that everybody's waiting for in like our first season. And then we just, you know, then you're digging through the like what's on Amazon Prime. That's a random thing that we can watch. And nobody's ever heard. You got to hold something in our pocket, you know. So we've been holding on to this. You hit the jackpot with a well-timed suggestion. Let's put it that way.
Well, I am excited. First and foremost, almost every movie I watch, I make it queer. I develop some queer storyline in my brain and
love
I go
it.
With that. And that's my canon. For The Devil Wears Prada, one, Anne Hathaway. I don't need to say more than that. I think everything Anne Hathaway does should be queer.
1,000% agree.
So,
yes.
I think the turning point for me in that was the lip sync battle with Anne Hathaway and Emily Blunt and the Wrecking Ball performance. Like when that happened, at that point I was like, okay, that's it. Anne Hathaway has to be queer. Like I need that performance in my life all the time. And the fact that she jumps on the Wrecking Ball, turns around and flips off Emily Blunt. And I'm like, oh, this is so queer. Everything about this is queer and I need it in my life. And so from that point on, in my head, canonly, Anne Hathaway's characters are queer.
Yep. Sold.
And Devil Wears Prada, I mean, who doesn't love Miranda Priestley? It's like the token drag character performance that so many drag queens that I know do that scene. And you know what scene I'm talking about, where she talks about the cerulean blue. And like everything there is like touching to me. And on top of that, growing up, I loved fashion. I had like the worst sense of it, but I loved it. And so Devil Wears Prada is everything. And then it was also something that my brother really likes. And so it was something that we bonded over as well, both queer.
I love that. I love that. See, it's like a queer touchstone for us, you know?
Yes.
It's important to have those. You got to have those. Yeah, God, that Cerulean Blue scene really, really is something, right? Like,
yeah.
try to name like a male actor who could have, who could play a role like this. They don't exist.
No, they don't.
She's a goddess. She's something else, Meryl Streep. So beautiful. I love mm-hmm. it. I love the backstory. I love the history with this movie. I could not remember either when the first time I watched this was. I mean, it came out in 2006. I was in mm-hmm. college. I'm like, I'm sure I saw it right when it came out. Because I also loved Anne Hathaway. I must have watched Princess Diaries when I was in high school.
Yeah.
Like 200 times. Who even knows? It was like, Princess Diaries was one of my like go-to, like, I've had a shitty day and I want to cheer up. That was like my comfort movie, yep. Princess Diaries. So I already loved her. I don't remember if I went to see it in theaters or not, but like easily could have. But I couldn't remember when the last time I would have watched it is. It's been such a long time and it was such a delight. Such a delight to watch, you know?
Yes.
It actually has not aged as badly as I thought. I think for me, the hardest thing going back and watching a 2006 movie is I was like, wow, this is super fat phobic.
Yes.
It?
Yes.
That, all of that was kind of a little much for me. But, you know, otherwise, I was actually pleasantly surprised with the rest of the movie and mm-hmm. how it's held up. I think it's held up, you know?
Yes.
It is very, very fat phobic, but
absolutely. That was one of the notes that I actually took was that the sizing issue and like,
oh, it's so bad.
They like, I had a cube of cheese. Like, what? No.
It's really, yeah. It's that I will say, like, it's worse than I remembered it. Like that part of the movie specifically, mm-hmm. you know? So yeah, if that's a thing, maybe don't go back and rewatch this, listeners, because it's not kind. But, you know, for a lot of other things, I mean, in terms of some of the older movies that we've gone back and rewatched, it held up better than many of them have. Let's put it that way.
Yes. There's
a lot less problematic topics that it kind of jumps into. We've done worse. Listen, we survived Austin Powers Goldmember.
Oh.
And, you know, few things are going to have aged as badly as that has. So here we go. Let's dive in and maybe I'll give you the honors, Candida. If we're going to start talking about who should have been gay in this movie, who would you like to start with first?
First and foremost, most of the AFAB characters I have listed as queer.
I my list is literally just any name of, yeah, like any yeah. woman in this.
So Lily's one of them.
Yep, definitely on my list.
And then Emily and Serena, they're a couple in my mind. Miranda mm-hmm, is mm-hmm. totally queer. And the reason that her...
No, but pick one. Who do you want to die? Because we're going to get into all of them. Don't worry. There's
okay,
time.
So then...
I want to know, who do we pick apart first?
Let's go with Miranda.
Okay, start us off. Why should Miranda Priestley have been gay?
Because, am I allowed to cuss on here?
Like, of course you are.
Yes. Okay. So she's like the head bitch in charge, right? Like,
oh, yeah.
She comes in, people fucking leave the elevator when she gets in. They're like, oh, sorry, Miranda. Like, that is the kind of power queer that we all like strive to be, right? Like, me as a burlesque performer and a producer, I'm like, yes, I want that power. I don't want to be mean, but I want that power. And so the fact that like they made Miranda's weak spot, the whole divorce situation, like mm-hmm. shook me to my core. I'm like, this woman is strong in every aspect in life, and this is what's going to shake her? No. And then the backstory, too, with her and Jacqueline Follier, right?
They for sure fucked.
Yeah, like, they're exes. 100%. They had a bad fallout.
They have fucked.
And they don't like each other. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, like, that is the backstory of Miranda. And that's why she's not going to let go of her baby. Runway is her thing, and this is it. Like, super power queer. And you can see it, too, when, you know, Andrea has her glow up moment, if you will, like the whole makeover situation.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
she checks her out.
Yeah.
Up and down. That is a legit, how you doing? You know what I mean?
And it's not even that she checks her out. She checks her out. She checks her out again when she like turns around to walk out. You know, and you're mm-hmm. like, yeah, you wanted to scope out the other side of that whole package, didn't you? Like, it is so deliberate. And she's clearly not, because here's the thing. Miranda Priestley is a character who does a lot of things for other people around her to see, right? Like her reactions to things are very designed around other people seeing them and interpreting them and acting accordingly. So I'm like, when you have her check out a character that explicitly and that obviously, when that person is not even looking at her, I'm like, that was for her and her only. Mm-hmm. Like, and that matters too, you know? Like,
yeah.
Whew, it's something else.
Yep, the nonverbal language. Like, look, Miranda, I see you. I've done that. So, like,
yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Eating that up in a different way is what I'm going to say. She was just a snack for Miranda is what that was.
Yes.
Correct.
Yes. And Andy liked it. Like, you knew Andy felt it. Andy knew what was happening. And the smirk on her face as she was walking away, like, yes. And yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep. Andy felt approved by the head queer.
Does that. Andy have a praise kink? Yes or no, listeners?
Yes.
Chime in and let us know.
My answer to that is yes. Abso-fucking-lutely. A praise kink. Yep.
But let's wait. Can we talk more about Miranda's whole divorce thing, too? Because I also feel like there's not enough for me in this movie, because they could have gone gayer with it explicitly. But there's not enough for me on the, like, oh, a iconic, powerful woman who can't make a marriage work, and all these men who like don't understand her, and she doesn't really care about them that much. And I'm mm-hmm. like, gosh, I wonder why all these marriages keep
she's
failing
gay?
On me. I just think as a trope, it's such a funny trope sometimes, you know, to like just gloss over, mm-hmm. you know. I'm like, maybe there's something else you're looking for that you just haven't tried yet. Have you considered something maybe you haven't tried yet, Miranda?
Or maybe
she hasn't. She's definitely fucked Jacqueline, so yeah. I shouldn't say that.
Maybe she just hasn't found the right beard.
Mm.
Maybe she wants to keep that, you know, whole lifestyle up just for the sake of like her girls. And most yeah. times that's when you find another gay person or a gay male that sticks with you and is your bestie through it all. And you go that route. But when you
can
find
you
weak
imagine
men,
her and Nigel bearding together, though?
Oh, my God.
How funny would that be?
Lots of headbutting, but lots of work getting done.
Yeah. Oh, my mm-hmm. God. I mean, power beard couple. For
yes.
Sure. Yeah,
absolutely.
They would throw the most epic and like unpleasant parties, like where all they do is shit on everyone who's there. You
yeah.
know? But like yeah. flawlessly.
And then another thing, when you talk about this whole divorce thing and the substance behind it, one thing that this movie did not show well is the support of somebody who is in a power position or a high power job. It like mm-hmm. every partner that's been with somebody in this movie like crumbled. So Miranda's husband didn't like yeah. it and crumbled. Nate, the villain of the movie, did not like it and crumbled.
Nate, the villain of the movie.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah,
I was like, where is the support? Like, there's the one scene when Andy gets the job, right? And she's like, you should see what these girls wear at Runway. I don't have anything to wear. And he's like, you're going to be getting coffee and answering phones. Do you need a ball gown for that? Like, I was flashing back to my relationship. And if I would have told my wife, like, you should see the way that they dress at work. I don't have a thing to wear. She'd have been like, all right, let's go to the store right now and let's get you some shoes and an outfit. Just we'll worry about tomorrow and then we'll get the rest later. Like, that's support yeah. right there. And like, there was none of that.
He's the worst.
He's the worst. Selfish too. So yeah. selfish.
We'll talk yeah. more about Nate when we get to Andy's should have been gay segment as well. But agreed. Definitely. Yes. For sure. The villain. Yeah. Yeah, no, where's Miranda's supportive husband? Like, come on, she's running the world. She's got two kids. Like, she's making it happen. I guarantee you she is paying for that entire lifestyle,
yes.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Just the dumping and divorcing, like, while she's not even in the country, like, ice cold. Is Steven the other villain of this movie as well?
Absolutely,
you know?
He is. Like, that's like, the cowardly way out, too. Like, you can't say it to her face. You can't wait till she comes home and have a conversation with her. She's in the middle of Paris, like, fashion week. And yeah, no, I'm not.
Yeah. like the most important week of her year. That's when you drop this on her. It's so calculated and shitty, but it also does remind me of another Miranda moment that I want to highlight, which is when she's having the conversation with Andy, where she's telling her about, you know, like how Steven is not coming. And Andy's like, so I don't need to go fetch Steven from the airport. And her response of, you're very fetching, so go fetch. And I'm like, are you like flirting right now?
Yes.
Is that what's happening? Like, are you telling her she's hot? Like, while you're telling her you're getting divorced? Like, I stan Miranda. Like, bold. I like it.
Yes.
Does not waste a minute, no. That woman.
Like, super quick. Love it. And the fact that she was like completely distraught too, like when Andy walks in the room, looks like she had been crying, all of the things that you would normally see in a breakup scene, right? And then like to flip on a dime like that and like, you're very fetching, so go fetch. Like, okay. Yeah. Okay.
And there's no, the other thing I love in movies like this, where they give them lines like that, where you're like, what did the writer think this was saying? What is the straight explanation for this line? Right? Like, because there's nothing, I don't get it. Like, what's the point? There's nothing, there's no reason for it. There's no, it's not like calling back to something earlier other than like Miranda like eye fucking her while like undressing her with her eyes, whatever. Like, it's not calling back to anything explicit that's happened in the movie. She hasn't been like making a thing out of like, oh, you're such like a pretty young ingenue, something like that's never been a part of their relationship. There's no reason for it. It's just, it feels like it's thrown in there, like, without much thought. And I'm like, let me provide some thought for
or
you.
We could have the other thing where it's a queer writer writing it in and hoping that heteronormative people don't catch on to the nuance. Like, that's...
Straight people never
that's,
do.
That's a thing, don't too. Worry. And it's happened in many movies and TV shows that I've seen as well.
I wonder who did write this. I wonder if they were queer. I'm going to go look it up and it's going to provide absolutely no insight for me, I promise. But I'm going to do it anyways, because why not? Devil Wears Prada. Let's see. Writing credits. Aline Brosh McKenna. The name means nothing to me. Let's see. Okay, well, listen. She wrote Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, Cruella, Devil Wears Prada.
Cruella is totally queer.
I refuse to believe this woman is entirely straight.
Yeah.
Aline, if you listen to the podcast, we're very sorry. We refuse to believe you're straight.
Yes. Yes.
That's all I'm going with. That's all.
Sorry, not sorry.
It's a gay moment.
It is.
It's a very gay moment. I can't apologize for it. What else? What else makes Miranda gay? Do we have
the
other
scene
notes?
In Paris when they were in the car after the whole thing happened with Nigel and Andy's talking to her and she's telling Andy not to be silly. Everybody wants to be us.
Yes, I literally have that written down in my notes. Wait, what does it say after the quote in your notes? I'm curious if we wrote the same thing down.
Oh, everybody wants to be queer. Like, that's...
Yeah, I literally just said a queer mood. Like, everybody wants to be us. Miranda Priestley, like, embodying a queer mood. That's all. That's it. That's it. And, like, what a way to kind of, like, end their whole journey, right? I love it so much. I will never forgive Andy for getting out of that car, but I do love that. I love that scene so much.
I'm so upset that she got out of the car and like didn't work through it. And I get like they're trying to do the whole like she's on this path to her discovery and this like helped her get there. Whatever. Like, okay, you're going to go write for the New York Mirror. And I'm using air quotes right now, the New York Mirror, and instead of being a part of Runway.
Yeah. It's, you know why I, you know, okay. Let's, maybe this is a good opportunity to segue over to Andy, and we'll start with the end of Andy's story and work our way back, because I have to comment on, I feel like for 2006, I feel like I remember thinking that Devil Wears Prada was like an empowering movie for women, right? And watching it this time around, I was just like, womp womp, like, what is this ending? What is happening? I'm like, you have put so much time, so much energy, so much work into, like, The thing that I'm still frustrated about is that everybody is acting like this is just selling out and whatever. And I'm like, this is still a exceptional career yes. move. Like, even for what she wants to do, you are just not only throwing that away and throwing away all that work that you did, mm-hmm. but you are also jumping back to the absolute garbage dumpster fire boyfriend who supported you 0% and gave you nothing but shit this entire
time. Yes, that part.
And look at this fucking office that you walk into. I'm like, come on, they couldn't even like pretend that you got like a real job. They're just like, and now you work at rinky dink dusty like place with this dude and like his tiny little like 1935 desk. And I was like,
yeah.
I hate it so much. And I hate that, like, I hate that the boyfriend doesn't even like doesn't apologize. Like, Nate doesn't do anything other than be like, I can make you grilled cheese again, baby.
Oh, you mean
like,
that burnt piece of bread so that was much. Pan?
I hate you so much right now. I cannot even put it into words.
It was very much like, I told you so. That, like, that yes. vibe from him.
Yes. And it was very much like, you can only be the person that, like, I want you to be.
Yeah.
You know? Like,
never mind you growing and exploring and accepting your true identity, or, you know, you need to fit in this box right here. And that annoys me because I did that for most of my life with my ex. So, like, no. Jump out of the box, Andy.
It's also, it's funny for me because if we're going to compare this to another, like, classic Anne Hathaway makeover movie, mm-hmm. right? Like, Princess Diaries, this feels like, when I rewatched it, I was like, wow, is this like the anti-Princess Diaries? Because I feel like Princess Diaries was this whole thing where it's like, hey, the makeover doesn't actually change the person that mm-hmm. you are. It is just the exterior packaging. And guess what? That's not the most important part of someone. And I feel like this movie, like, hard turns in the opposite direction and is like, wow, wearing nice clothes suddenly makes you vapid and uninteresting and everybody's gonna hate you now for good reasons. And you're like, is that the message we want to send young women? I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe not the best. Maybe we could have sent a message of like, hey, maybe she doesn't really still care about fashion, or maybe she decided, actually, I've learned a lot about fashion and have new interests and new broadened horizons, and also am still like a fucking kick-ass journalist and like career-driven person with goals. No? Okay, fine. Go back to the grilled cheese, I guess.
The grilled cheese. Like, did she not realize that there's so much journalism that she could have uncovered in the fashion industry? There's a lot of feminist movements happening in the fashion industry that she could have been a part of. But no, grilled cheese it is.
But no. Does she not realize that there are chefs who can make something other than grilled cheese or make a better
grilled
cheese?
Or talk about potatoes?
No. Listen, I cannot take how much I dislike Nate in this movie. Actually, all of the men in this movie really don't do it for me. Just cross the board. It's three strikes, you're out, men in this movie. Because what do we have? Steven,
Christian.
He's the worst. Nate, he's the worst. Christian, maybe this is the lesbian in me speaking. I don't know. Tell me from your perspective, Candida, because I feel like as a lesbian sometimes, I'm like, I'm not attracted to men, but I can like tell if a dude is attractive. Boy, Christian gives me nothing.
It's the eyebrows, actually.
It's the eyebrows. They don't work for me. Mm. Okay, listeners, if you are straight and still listening to this podcast, 76 Should Have Been Gays In, we have some news for you. And B, can you tell us if this actor does it for you? Because we'd
love to learn
more. Or
even if you're bisexual or pansexual. And
yeah, that's true. We do have bi listeners. So listen, bi listeners, tell us, is this what you're looking for? Because I always try to see it and I just don't see it here. Like, Nate, I hate him, but at least, you know, I'm like, okay, the actor's cute enough. Like, whatever. He's got the little shaggy haircut thing. Fine, mm-hmm. fine. Christian does nothing for me.
You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz. And how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, so.
Nothing.
Anyways, can we talk about the opening scene montage, the credit sequence in the beginning?
Yep.
Because I'm sorry, I need to compose myself. How fucking gay is this sequence with Suddenly I See playing as like a whole bunch mm-hmm. of like hot femmes get dressed
and
like
that you brought up
power walk their
I
way
love
to
that
work.
You brought up the song because this whole soundtrack is
Come
queer
on.
As fuck.
It's so gay.
It's so gay. Like you
it's
got Madonna
so
up in there.
Every
like,
other song I was like, yes, I'm like, is this a fucking Alanis now? Like, I did not notice how gay the soundtrack was when I watched this in 2006, for sure. Looking back now, like watching it again, I was like, every new scene got gayer.
Yep. The whole opening montage, though, like the underwear sliding up in between the legs and putting on the heels and the lipstick and the bras. And I'm like, am I watching an episode of The L Word right now?
Yeah, right. You're like, you're 2 minutes into the movie and you're like, I'm blushing a little. Ooh, okay.
Is it hot in here? Did somebody turn on the heater? Yeah.
But then listen, there's something for everyone because, you know, then the rest of queers get to also feel seen by that like tragic corduroy blazer that she wears.
Yes,
in the beginning.
And the chapstick.
It's just queer representation of all types. And
it goes
important.
From the lipstick to the chapstick. And I was like, ah, I can relate.
Yeah,
I can relate. Yes. Yes. This one's for all my chapstick lesbians.
Wait, I'm sorry. If there were going to be another bigger like queer shout out than to go from lipstick to chapstick in like a cut, I can't think of one. I can't think of one. That's all I'm saying.
We support queer women on all spectrums.
Incredible. I mean, listen, that corduroy blazer, like I was going to say I would have worn that in college, but like I'd still wear that. Who are we kidding?
Yep.
Corduroy could have a comeback still.
Actually, it is coming back already. Know. I've seen it
is
in a couple
it?
Different department
oh, good.
Stores.
It's time.
Yep.
It feels like it's time.
We have the acid wash came back. We've got the bell bottoms that are coming back. The mom jeans came back. So corduroy is only a matter of time.
Listen, I know everyone can't see us right now, but I feel like if there was anybody better poised to give a fashion status update of the world now, it would be the two of us here. That's all I'm saying.
Abso-fucking-lutely.
We just, listen, it's a fashion movie. We got to give the fashion breakdown. And there you have it. Corduroy's back, everyone.
Yes,
you're welcome.
Yes.
break out your chapstick, get your corduroy out. We know you have that blazer hiding somewhere deep in the back of your closet. Dig it out. It's time. Okay, let's talk about more Andy gay scenes, because I have a couple that we haven't touched on yet. And so the one of them that I specifically want to talk about, because we very explicitly called out Miranda checking her out in that first moment in the office, I would also like to shout out another moment in the office between the two of them, which is when she gets the Harry Potter manuscript.
Oh. Yep.
And there is this moment that happens where she's like kind of giving her this, like, you know, like smirky, like attitude of like, and she goes, "Is there anything else I can do for you?" And Miranda goes, "Mm-mm," and like quirks this little eyebrow, and they are like staring deep into each other's souls and like eye fucking the shit out of each other. Can we talk about that moment? Do you remember
yes,
that moment?
Actually, that is a very like dom brat conversation that happens. There's that there's that power dynamic where the one time that the brat actually outsmarts the dom, and the dom's kind of like, I have to think about your punishment right now. Like it was very that for me, and I live for it and I feel it like inside.
It was heated. Yeah. It was There was some fire happening in that. And again, like my notes literally in all caps just say, what is this look happening? Like, what is happening here? And again, what is the straight explanation of this scene? Like, what do the writers think is happening
like,
here?
The dynamic between Andy and Miranda, like, I think one, Andy's kind of like questioning life at this point, you know? And it's one of those, we've all had this moment, I'm going to speak for all of us, where it's like, do I want to be her or do I want to fuck her? And it's very, that kind of relationship to me in my head. So Andy's like, I like this. Yeah.
It's both.
So it's more than likely always both.
I think it's both for both of them, honestly.
Yes.
If we're just being clear about what we see in this dynamic, it's both for both for me.
I stand that. I can stand that.
That's what I think. Yeah, that scene really, whew, that was something. The other Andy note that I have that I want to call out is just the little page boy hat look, where I was like, I feel like what could the note have been to the costume designer of this movie other than gay, but make it fashion? Like, I refuse to believe that the note was anything other than that.
Yeah.
That's that outfit.
That's that outfit.
I'm like, it's a button down, but with like the funky sweater, like down shoulder sweater to like fashion. It's like the newsy cap that all of us have, but fashion.
Yes. I have that hat in my closet. So yes.
I should have worn it tonight. It's hard to wear it with the headphones, but you know.
When I wear it now with my like sweater with my little collar button up underneath it, I kind of feel more like grandpa than page boy, but you know, it happens.
That was my last important note that I just had to say, because it was so iconic. Like, oh, I love that you're, you know, discovering fashion, but staying true to who you are on the inside, Andy.
Yep.
I love that for her.
The only other gay note that I have with Andy is the unspoken banter that she develops with Nigel is like queer lingo speak. And the fact that she developed that so quick, I was like, oh yeah, totally queer.
He sees her.
He does. He sees her.
Yeah. She pings, I think, for him, like pretty quickly.
Well, I think she pinged the minute he walked into the office and was like, oh, okay.
Yeah. 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 He's mouthing to Emily. He's like, who is this tragic little gay next to me?
Who needs my help now?
Yes, which maybe let's use that as an opportunity to jump to Emily real quick. Although I feel like I'm going to have more to say about Emily when we start talking about ships, because do you want to talk about Emily on her own? Do you want to talk about Emily primarily in the context of Emily and Serena?
I don't really have much to say about Emily and Serena other than their banter shows that they're in a relationship. The first outfit that you see with Serena, with her there with Emily talking about Andy, is like the whole like power suit lesbian looking thing that Serena's got going on. But
for sure,
the first moment that you know that Emily is queer is when Andy goes in for her interview, talks to Miranda and is leaving, and Emily calls her back. And she goes, Andrea, and then she goes...
Yeah, with the two
fingers. The two fingers. The come hither motion with two fingers.
Beckon.
I was like...
I could not on this rewatch. I was like, did that really just happen? Does someone have that as a GIF? Somebody send us that as a GIF, please. Somebody has to have it.
And like that happened, and I paused the movie, looked at my wife, and I was like, this bitch just... And I was like, this is a whole TikTok trend right now. So we know that it's queer. Like, yeah. did Emily Blunt invent this? Like, is this what happened? No. But yeah, so the minute that happened, I was like, done. Absolutely done.
I love it. She's so gay. Maybe then before we jump to ships, let's just touch real quick on Lily. Can we talk about Lily?
The unspoken queer. Yes.
I feel like, again, it's funny when you go back and watch older movies sometimes with your wiser, gayer self. Mm-hmm. And like, I know Rent came out, I think the year before Devil Wears Prada, but I don't think it like struck me at the time, you know? Whereas like when you go back and watch it now, mm-hmm. and you're like, oh, hey, oh, hi. Are you just here to bring like some more queer rep to this movie?
Yep.
Cool. Cool. Okay. What a delight. What a delight. Plus, listen, if there is anything that 2022 owes us, I think it is a Devil Wears Prada sequel, mm-hmm. where Andy has rekindled a romance with Miranda, and where Lily is the devoted girlfriend still to whatever her boyfriend's name is after she has now transitioned. That's what I want.
Yes.
Right? I'm trying to remember what the boyfriend's name was.
I can't remember his name right now either.
Write it down.
In my mind, he was totally queer too. So
yes,
just the fact that he knew everything about Runway and Miranda, like it was too nuanced for it not to be gay.
He's way too into it, and they keep commenting on it with, again, like a storyline that goes nowhere. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, take the storyline somewhere, take it to an inevitable conclusion, either like transition, non-binary, something. Yep. Something. I want the journey.
The line.
I want to learn more about
it. Yeah, the line where he's like, I'm actually a girl. And Lily goes, that explains so much.
Yes.
Like,
right?
That was your moment.
I'm like, 2022, we deserve to know more of that journey. And I would love, like, how amazing would that be to be like, oh my God, yeah, like, they came out as non-binary and are super into fashion and like found a new job and we're still together and still in love. And I'm like, I want that story. That's what I want.
Yeah. And the fact that like, it really made me mad that they made Lily into this like angry friend as opposed to like a supportive friend.
Yeah. Andy really gets a bum deal in this movie.
Yeah. It like, I what I wanted from the character of Lily is like, I understand things are really hard for you right now. And I feel like I'm kind of losing you in this, but I support you in whatever you're doing. Whenever you're ready, I'm here.
Yep. Like,
that would have been so much better of a shift than like full on, like, I'm siding with Grilled Cheese Man. Like, no.
Yeah.
Yeah. that's for here on out his name. Grilled Cheese
Between
Man.
Between you and Grilled Cheese, I choose Grilled Cheese all day. Yeah, it's not good. It's not a good look. Especially when like they have this kind of throwaway line where she's like, we've been friends for 16 years. And I'm like, well, you're shit at it. Like, I'm sorry. What is this? You have like your friend has one, not even a full year of like a shit job. Like, nobody has ever done this before. Nobody's had a friend who is like, hey, here's the shitty year of my life or years of my life where like, can you imagine if every friend was like, oh, I get it. You're in medical school. You have to go to classes and do a residency and you sleep at the hospital when you're on call and you missed my birthday. Like, can you imagine if there was a movie where you had a friend who was like, wow, I can't believe that you're just like picking medical school over us and your friendships and like going out to a bar tonight, like they would clearly be the asshole in that situation. But for some reason, because it's a magazine, it's OK. And I'm like, no, dude, if you've been friends for 16 years, mm-hmm. you're a shit friend right now. Like, there's just, there are no two ways about it. Like, garbage.
Like, what is that? Is the one thing that I say all the time is like, I love my friends. I love them. Do I always approve of their decisions? No. But am I still going to support them in the end? Yes. Am I going to call them out on their bullshit? Absolutely. But I'm still going to be there for them. I'm not going to walk away because their choice doesn't suit me at the moment. So that made me really angry.
Disappointing.
Yeah, disappointing.
Disappointing. Also, sorry, not to like get back on like, let's shit on Nate, but I'm going to shit on Nate again some more. You know who like notoriously has like super great work-life balance and like the best work hours is definitely chefs. Come on. I'm sorry, but you expect me to believe that Nate, who's already working as a chef and ends the movie with a new, better job as a sous chef. I'm like, you expect me to believe that this man does not also have an equally shit like work-life balance and an equally shit work hour situation. No, come on. His work hours are garbage too. There's no way. He is just being a little pissy man about this, and I hate it. I hate it a lot. That's all.
Yeah.
That's all. So, Lily, listen, we love you. Shout out to Tracy Toms for being in the movie. But we expected better from Lily. That's all.
Well, I was going to make a running joke that, you know, she also didn't take Maureen for who she was, so.
Oh, nailed the dismount on that one. I love it.
Ba-dum-butch.
I love it. Excellent. Okay, so with that, let's jump into the characters we are shipping in this movie. So, do you have a ship? Is there, like, a ship that stands out to you in this movie that you'd like to suggest?
It's Emerina. So, that I made that up. Emerina. So, Emily and Serena is definitely the couple.
I love
Even in the scene where Andy comes in and she's all dressed up, you know, doing her thing. And she walks in and Serena goes, "You look good." The look that Emily gives Serena.
She's so pissed.
Mm-hmm. And she's like, "What?" She does. And it's like, "But you're my girlfriend."
But you're my girlfriend. Also, can we just say, I mean, while we're talking about how like they're clearly together, the way that they both also like that slow-mo montage when Andy walks in and like they are both also giving her a little slow gaze up and down, you know, like they're both interested, but they're clearly together. I mean, even from day one when like Serena first shows up and she's like, "Are you ready to go?" Like they're going to lunch together and it's so clearly like, "You ready, babe?" And I'm like, "Oh, cute. I love
it." It was very clear.
Yeah, take your 20 minutes and make sure you see your girlfriend.
We'll be back in 20. We're not going to actually eat food.
They might eat. You don't know.
That's why I clarified.
You don't know what food. They're doing.
But yeah, so that whole thing was an immediate coupling for me. Like there was no doubt about it.
For sure. For sure. Emerina. I like it. I like it.
Yes.
Who else? Who else do we have?
It's kind of hard not to say Miranda and Andy. It's kind of hard.
I mean, you have to. Wait, do they actually have a ship name? Because here's the thing. Do you know, are you aware of like how big of a thing they are?
I have heard. I have not gotten into any of the Devil Wears Prada fanfics yet.
Yeah. Do you want to hear a story? Because I can tell this story again because Ellie's already heard it, but she's not here. So here's what happened. I stumbled on one of the like lesbian fiction sites that I follow on something had published like a list, and they were like our 10 best like fan fiction recommendations, and I was like, yes, love it, always up for this. And so I click on it and I was like, okay, like let's start at the top with number one. I like didn't even like scroll through the rest of the list. I just like scrolled down to number one and I was like, click, let's do this. And number one was a Devil Wears Prada fan fiction, and I was like, interesting, like not a ship I'm familiar with, not a ship I had ever read before, but like I will give anything a try in the name of like gay fan fiction, let's do this. Read it. It wasn't bad. It sure wasn't bad. I will be honest and say that, like, for me, as someone who, like, does not have a praise kink, I find the relationship, no matter how people approach it, it's always a little problematic. And it's super Stockholm syndrome-y. And it's, like, it's always a little weird to, like, get past the problematic aspects of it. But whatever, the fan fiction was great. The writing was fine. Like, I enjoyed it. It was great.
Nice.
Then I keep scrolling through the list
Oh, no.
because Because I think number two on the list was a different Devil Wears Prada fanfic. And I was like, wait a second. So I start scrolling like through the rest of the list and I'm like, I'm pretty sure of their top 10, like four of them or at least like four, if not more, were Devil Wears Prada fanfics. And I was like, oh, this is like a thing mm-hmm. that I have stumbled into that I apparently like did not know was as big as it seems to be. Like this is, people are invested in this couple, which... Listen, I'm not here to yuck anyone's yum. I was just surprised.
Yeah.
That's all. I had gone so long without stumbling into Andy Miranda, but now I'm realizing that I didn't even pay attention to see if they actually have like a commonly picked ship name. So let's make up one for them anyways. So what are their names? Andy Sachs and Miranda
Priestley.
Saxley.
I like Saxley.
We have Mirandy. We have, ooh, Mirandria. How's that?
I'm down for it. Mirandria.
Mirandria. Although I guess how Miranda pronounces it, it would be Mirandrea.
Mirandrea, right? Yeah, that too.
Yeah.
And then, or we could title the fanfic Sacking Priestley.
Yes. I should say for I'm sure like many people who are probably wondering, it was Truth and Measure. I read Truth and Measure. That seems to be the big one in the fandom. So, you know, listen, if you have other recommendations that you think make it a little less problematic for me, hit me. I'm up for anything, friends. Listen.
Yes.
I'm always willing to give it a go. I'm going to go with Mirandria because I like it.
I like Mirandria too. I do. I like it a lot.
Okay, and we had Emerina, and then I feel like I could see some dark horse ships for, like, Andy and Emily.
Yep.
Like, they're problematic as well, because she's so terrible to her. She's so bad to her. I love Emily when she's in the hospital, and she's like, I can't believe you didn't say no. And I'm like, you have treated her like literal, like, garbage since day one. Like, if she was on fire, you would not have, like, spit on her yet this movie to put her out. So, like, I don't know why you are surprised.
Yep.
You seem shocked by something that should shock nobody right now.
Yep.
But, you know, I could see them, like, getting past their differences at some point.
I think the only reason I did not ship them personally is I got, like, the bully big sister vibe from Emily to Andrea.
Mm.
And I think that's why I didn't ship them together.
That's fair. I could
see
the
very end of the movie when she tells the new assistant, like, you have very big shoes to fill. Like, there was pride in that statement about Andy. And I was like, oh, that's something like a big sister would do. So, you know, happy that I helped this baby gay grow into who she is, you know,
yeah.
And like, there's that pride there. But yeah, I can see it.
What about Andy and Lily? Do you think they have a past?
I do think they have a past. And I think the reason that I say that I think they have a past is because the flip that Lily does at the end, that it seemed kind of like far left field. And I was like, there has to be something there where like maybe Andy left Lily for Nate. And so that was like conclusive for
her. That would explain some of the, like, the Andy I know is, like, madly in love with Nate. And you're like, why are you so hung up on this,
mm-hmm.
right? That could explain some of that. I could see that.
Yeah, so that, I mean, that makes sense to me. Like, you left me for Nate, which can give you the life of normality that I couldn't give you. And now you're questioning that and jumping off and refinding yourself again. And it's not with me.
Fair. Fair and valid points, all of these. I love it. I feel like maybe that means we should come up with a ship name for Andy and Lily then.
Andily.
That's cute.
Because I don't like...
It's cute.
I don't like Landy.
No, it's not as good. No. I can go with Andily. Let's do it.
Dig it.
I think the most important thing here is Devil Wears Prada should have been gay.
Should have been gay.
Which means it is time... It is time for our Q and gay questions.
Q and gay.
Okay, starting with question one. Who was the gayest character in Devil Wears Prada out of A, Andy, B, Miranda, C, Emily, or D, Serena?
It's Miranda. B, Miranda.
I think that's correct. I mean, just the undressing with the eyes on its own.
Mm-hmm.
Whew. Okay, question two. Have you ever had a May-December romance? Yes or no?
What technically qualifies as a May-December romance, though, like age gap-wise?
That's a good question. Is there like an official threshold that you have to like be?
I've dated someone who is 15 years older than me, and my wife is currently 10 years older than me. 10 years in a week.
I feel like 15 could count for me. Probably it would depend on like how old you were at the time.
I was, you know, 21.
I'll go with yes. Yeah. I'll go with so yes.
Maybe
why
it was
not?
16 we'll years. Count yeah, it. I was 21 and she was 37.
Let's count it. Yeah, why okay. not? I feel like it's probably not still like a huge enough gap, but why not?
Yeah. We'll take I didn't it. Have a Sarah Paulson relationship yet, but you know.
Yeah. There's only me here. I get to make the final determination. So I will rule yes, let's count it. Why not? Question 3. What's the better Anne Hathaway glow up? Devil Wears Prada or Princess Diaries?
Oof. She is so good at that like quirky to like bombshell.
It's a gift. It's,
I mean, needless to say, I have a giant crush on her. So I'm going to say Devil Wears Prada. I like that glow up better.
Okay, fair. You like the super femme outcome at the end.
Well, I do like it. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not always about super femmes. I dig the masculine sometimes. But yeah, there's just something about the glow up, like the pride that she had when she walked into the room, as opposed to like her still being uneasy in The Princess Diaries with how she looked. Yeah. So like the confidence in it.
She was feeling herself.
Yeah, she was.
I mean, for sure. Yeah. And she's like, she's a little older now. She's a little more refined in this movie, mm-hmm. you know? And like, I mean, she looks fantastic. She looks great. This whole movie, she looks great. Who can blame Nate?
It was wasted on Nate.
It was super wasted on Nate, like was everything. Anyways, question 4. Which fashion week would you most want to attend out of A, Paris, B, Milan, C, New York, or D, London?
I think for me personally, I've been to New York Fashion Week. I want to go to Paris. There's just something about Paris.
I mean, it sounds like everyone loved it. Everyone enjoys Paris a lot mm-hmm. in this movie, you know, as they continue to say. So yeah, who can blame you? And our final question 5, I saved it for the end because it's, I think, the most attack of all. So question 5, what's Andy's best look out of A, those Chanel boots, B, the page boy hat, C, the benefit dress, or D, that final leather jacket in that last scene when she's walking down the street? What do we think?
I'm a sucker for leather. I've got to go with leather jacket.
It's a great outfit.
It
on
really
her,
is.
Right?
Yeah. It's sucker for leather. So I'm going to go with that one. Good. Although there was...
Yeah, you can write in an option.
Yeah, when they were doing the montage of the outfits, the only thing that popped into my head is when she was wearing that white overcoat. I was like, white in New York? That's a choice. And then my wife's like, and coming off the subway. So I was like, yeah. Nope. Okay.
Good. Good choices all around. Not a bad choice in the bunch, I have to say.
Yes.
Incredible. Candida, thank you so much for joining Lonely Little Me tonight. It was so much fun having you
Yay,
here.
I had a blast. I loved it. Yeah. Get to talk about queer things.
Oh, I mean, that's living the dream, right?
Absolutely.
Can you tell our listeners where they can find you, where they can find Queerly Beloved Review on all of the things?
Yes, on all of the things. On social media, I am Candida Valentina Official. That's on Facebook and Instagram. My baby, Queerly Beloved Review, is Queerly Beloved, and Review is spelled R-E-V-U-E. And that is what we're called on Facebook and Instagram as well. We do have Twitter links available in our link trees on our bio. We have some big things coming up. Friend of mine, we just started co-producing a monthly brunch here in Seattle. So we have a monthly brunch happening in West Seattle, actually, called at a place called The Bridge. So if you're ever in the Pacific Northwest and you come out to West Seattle, come find us at The Bridge. We are the first Saturday every month. So I think our next one would be February 5th, if I'm not mistaken.
Amazing.
And then March 5th after that. And then I am currently producing an emo-themed burlesque variety show, an emo dance party.
I love that so much.
So, like, our thing is, like, have you ever wanted to be the savior of the broken, the beaten, and the damned? So, it's called Misery Business, and it's going to be here in Seattle at the Factory Lux, you know, given that everything's good and this new variant, you know, figures out what she's doing with herself.
And then we are planning out the rest of this year. So we have dates spread out pending the pandemic. And we're hoping to be back. Well, we will be back at Klexicon once we have dates in Las Vegas.
Incredible. I love it. Amazing. Well, thank you again. This was just a joy.
Yes, I had a blast. And we can just hashtag this shitting on Nate. So.
Sold. Done. We've done it.
Let me hear you say hip, 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 hip.
We love hearing from you and we love continuing to build this community. So we just want to shout out some of our favorite things every episode. And this week we want to shout out our listener, Olivia, who reached back out on Instagram to suggest Arcane, which we have also heard a lot of people talking about. I will be honest and say neither of us have watched it yet. I'm always behind the times on stuff, but
there's so much. To watch,
I know there's a lot, but so I have hard. Seen so many people talking about it. A lot of our patrons are talking about it as well. It's all over the place. Everyone I follow on Twitter has like a million drawings and fan art and stuff. So Arcane, and I know Haley Steinfeld is in it, and we are all here for like the Haley Steinfeld taking over the world supremacy, especially when she's just playing gay characters left and right
everywhere.
So we know it's on our list. We are going to try to get to it, we promise. But thank you, Olivia, for suggesting it, because that's how we make sure we keep up on, you know, just all of the stuff that's out there. It's hard sometimes for just two little professional lesbians out here in the world. I know. You know,
gonna start watching it tonight. Don't worry.
Amazing.
Speaking of patrons, we're talking about Arcane. We want to thank our Lesbian Jesus patrons, Mark Foster,
Jess Klaus,
Tanya Ferguson,
Jacqueline Rose Nishino,
Sarah and Julia,
Danny Gunlock Tamora,
Brittany Ray,
Alana Rosen,
Lizette Stye,
Stacy,
Adi Benitez,
Fiona W,
Whitney Lennon,
and Jennifer Trujillo.
And our King Princess patrons, Amy and Ellen,
Leah Henley,
Liz Chen,
Julia Gonzalez,
and Ashley White. Thank you all so much for all of your support. We love you more than you can possibly know. And that's all I can say. That's it. I'm overwhelmed with love.
Remember, you can also find us on all the social medias. We are on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and TikTok at Les Hangout Pod.
You can email us at leshangoutpod@gmail.com.
You can check out our website at leshangoutpod.com.
Whatever app you use for podcasts, make sure you subscribe so you'll be the first to know when new episodes drop.
And make sure that you have caught up on all the episodes of The Flame, which is available on any place you listen to podcasts.
And as a reminder, we will be doing a crowdfunding campaign for our next musical. If you love The Flame and you want to help us with that, you can help us by emailing us and joining our street team for Journey to the Heart.
We also still have videos going up on our YouTube channel, so make sure you subscribe at youtube.com/leshangoutpod to catch those.
If you want to support the podcast, the easiest thing to do is to rate and review us on iTunes. We love reading what you have to say.
If you want to help support us financially, the best way to do that is to join our Patreon. You get access to our Discord chat. You get all sorts of other cool perks like ad-free episodes, and it helps us make more of the podcast. You can find it at bit.ly/lespatreon.
If you want to subscribe to The Flame Patreon, you can also do that at bit.ly/TheFlamePatreon. If you are in our Patreon, you have seen we're going to be doing a little bit of a rebrand for that, because it will be more of an umbrella of our production company, and anyone who's supporting us on The Flame Patreon will help us make other musicals or get The Flame on stage.
If you want to deck yourself out in some Les Hangout merch, you can find all of our designs in our TeePublic, and you can get them on t-shirts, on tank tops, on tote bags, on masks, on all sorts of stuff. You can find it at bit.ly/lesshop.
If you want to find us individually, you can find me at Ellie Brigida on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok.
And you can find me on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at LSH Foster.
With that, I'm Ellie.
And I'm Lee. And let's hang out again soon.
Let's hang out.